Why, hello! You have tuned in to Late to the Party with Travis Tate, a comedy-ish panel discussion of two men, at least this time, about the stuff that we should have already gotten around to. I am co-host. I'm Jake. Sitting across from me.
Hey, everybody. I'm Travis Tate. How about that?
Yeah, okay. I guess there is that. So, on the panel today...
The name was in the title. You had to find somebody named Travis Tate. I guess I was...
I worked from there. Late, Tate. These things both rhyme. But do I know anyone with that name? Yeah. So what's on our panel today, Travis?
I think we're going to delve into some late-breaking Superman talk.
Yeah.
Late-breaking, at least when it's recorded today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this stuff was just the last couple of days. So I think it has seemed from the very beginning, from Batman v Superman, I guess Batman v Superman was the first Batfleck appearance. Is that right?
Yeah, it was.
Seems so weird that that was the first appearance was in that movie. But anyway, it seemed in that movie, Ben Affleck already didn't want to be Batman. So
I think he's a tortured soul at this point of his life. So I don't know if he knows what he wants.
If you're tortured by the roles you're taking, there's a pretty easy way to not be tortured by roles.
I don't know if it's the roles that he's taking that's torturing him. I think it's just stuff going on in his life and his head type of stuff. Yeah, he's in a rough spot right now. He's currently in rehab.
His ex-wife, who I didn't know that he and Jennifer Garner. I guess it's good. I didn't know that he and Jennifer Garner had split. It's none of my business, so...
Jennifer Garner.
I haven't been paying enough attention to People magazine in the line at the grocery store.
She's a gem. That's all I can say.
But the news was...
She was an Alias. She was amazing in that. Now she's going to be female Punisher in the Peppermint movie.
Yeah.
Where she goes and avenges her family's death.
Go get
I've always liked Jennifer Garner. And she's funny. She can... 13 going on 30. Who doesn't like that movie?
I wouldn't know. I never saw it.
Oh, you gotta see that movie. It's like Big.
I don't know if I'm built to enjoy that movie anymore.
She's hilarious in it.
I'm not gonna disparage it. Just don't know if I'm built to like it.
Good job, JG.
But the,
that's the worst nickname of all time, so JG.
Finding out that Ben Affleck isn't gonna be Batman anymore wasn't a huge surprise. This is still rumored.
There's nothing official as of this recording.
We'll get into that in a minute. The news that kicked this all off that was like Ben Affleck not being Batman was a side story to supposedly Henry Cavill, who we haven't figured out how you pronounce his name. It's Cavill.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Courvoisier, I don't know. But supposedly old Hank... isn't going to be Superman anymore, which
I think is a shame. I enjoyed him as Superman. I know a lot of people complain that he's a little boring. I think maybe that's what he's working with. Cause, what was the Man from Uncle? Did you ever see The Man from Uncle?
I've heard good things about
it. He's very charming in that. And he's good in the new Mission Impossible movie.
That's what I'm saying is I haven't seen Fallout yet, but seeing just the trailers, he seems like I'm feeling charm from it.
So he's charming, but he can go evil. That's what we learned in Fallout.
I think I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think pretty much everyone in Justice League is pretty good. They're just in roles that aren't being written very well.
I didn't hate Justice League. A lot of people hated it. A lot of people hated on Batman versus Superman. I found ways to enjoy both of them. Are they perfect movies? No.
We've established you like everything.
Pretty much. But were they Avengers quality? No. But I still liked them a lot. And I liked Henry Cavill as Superman. Caviezel. Jim Caviezel. and I thought Affleck did a good job. But I think, honestly, a new Batman... seems less weird just because Batman has been replaced so many times.
I'm not convinced that Batman / Bruce Wayne is even a role. What do you have to, what do you, what would you, like, let's go down the line. Michael Keaton, what would you say is the thing that defines him as Bruce Wayne slash Batman?
Probably you want to get nuts. Let's get nuts. He was my favorite of all of them.
Yeah, but he's not your favorite. Like, Michael Keaton isn't your favorite Batman Bruce Wayne. He's your favorite Michael Keaton.
Could be.
What defined Val Kilmer as Batman in the role?
Honestly, not much. That movie was more about Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones.
I'm just saying, like, there's not really much characterization to either side of that role. When they're Batman, the costume's usually too big to really...
Right, in the neck, where you can't crane the neck around. You know. I mean, I was never huge on, what's his name, that was just Batman in the Dark Knight. Christian Bale.
You.
Christian Bale. Oh, yeah. Mr. Lighting guy. I was never huge on him, but the more I look back on it, he did a much better job than I gave him credit for at the time.
I think they actually tried to say something about the character.
Right. And so there was a darkness to Bruce Wayne that wasn't there before, really. I mean, they kind of went a little dark with Michael Keaton occasionally. He looked a little tortured. But I don't remember Val Kilmer.
He also hung upside down.
Or George like Clooney. Yeah. I don't remember Clooney or Kilmer really seeming super tortured. They were just kind of like the rich guy that goes to parties, and then he's also Batman.
Outside of Christopher Nolan's Batman, all of them are just the actors being themselves.
More or less.
I mean, even Jack Nicholson's Joker is just, you know, slightly more psychotic Jack Nicholson. But that's neither here nor there. It's just that, like, Batman is a role that it doesn't matter too much who's in it. It's more of a look, really, than anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ben Affleck kind of had that. He's got the square jaw.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job with what he was doing. I mean, the movies were kind of helter-skelter a little bit and had trouble finding the tone. But I thought the actors did a good job. And, you know, the Flash is good. Momoa is good as Aquaman. And then, of course, Gal Gadot.
Cal Aquaman.
Yeah. Gal Gadot was amazing as Wonder Woman.
Gal Gadot's great, yeah.
I kind of feel like maybe they're going to lean on her more to be the anchor of the universe.
I'm sure they're going to, because she's kind of the only one that's really worked out.
Well, yeah. I mean, the standalone movie. And I hope whatever they call it, Wonder Woman 1984, or if that's going to be the final title.
I think that's a good title.
So, and I hope it's just as good as the first Wonder Woman, because that's my favorite superhero movie at this point.
Did Chris Pine die at the end of the first Wonder Woman movie? I thought he did.
Yes, but this is a superhero movie, so anything can happen.
I
just wanted to clear
that up, because I think I've seen production shots that he's in the 1984 one, right?
Yeah, he is. Okay. Well, let's just say he was on a plane, and the plane blew up.
It's almost like that happened to another character that came back in another movie in a similar fashion.
You're saying Captain America?
I can't think of that. Wait, is that what... Yes, that is what happened to Captain America, wasn't it? He went down.
Except his went down. The Chris Pine, Steve Trevor blew up in midair.
It's almost like it's really similar to Captain America in a lot of ways.
I was on an airplane flying home, and the dude in front of me was watching that scene on Wonder Woman. This is the beginning of the flight. He fast forwarded to that scene to watch the plane blow up. I thought that was a little disturbing. Beginning of the flight, you watch the plane blow up. Yeah, I guess.
He put a blanket over his lap shortly thereafter. But no, I when it comes down to it, just the tone, the movies have always been tone deaf. They've always been trying to play catch up. Shazam looks pretty good, but it is them trying to catch up with Guardians of the Galaxy's tone. And I mean, I don't think it's... I think Shazam is more DC's trying to catch up with Ant-Man, where Suicide Squad was them trying to catch up with Guardians of the Galaxy. And it's just it feels like the DCU is trying so hard to catch... Like, they weren't willing to put in... They wanted to have the MCU success and acclaim without putting in the years.
Right. I mean, they definitely should have done the Aquaman movie and a Flash movie and then have the team up instead of introducing them all at once.
Yeah, Justice League was introducing a lot of characters that you had no equity in.
It didn't have the, I can't wait for this to finally happen feel that Avengers did. When they finally got together in Avengers, it was like, yes, I've been waiting for 5 years for this to happen.
And they're gonna try and do Darkseid, and it's just not gonna come together like Thanos.
Here's the funny thing is Thanos is a Darkseid ripoff, but because Thanos was in movies first, people are gonna go, Darkseid's just a Thanos ripoff, even though they don't know that Darkseid was around before Thanos.
That stuff happened, which is weird.
Darkseid, Darkseid. This is the I don't know what's the correct pronunciation episode.
I was calling Darkseid. I guess you're right.
I've always said Darkseid, but
I don't ever hear it spoken.
I've also heard Darkseid.
I'm broken. I will always call him Thanos, just because that's always how I read it.
Mm.
And in my mind, Thanos sounds cooler. Thanos sounds like you're trying to sound cool.
Well, I told you reading the Harry Potter books, I kept going, who is Seamus? What?
Oh yeah, and I told you like hearing the name Hermione spoken for the first time broke me.
Hermione.
yeah, Hermione doesn't. Yeah.
So it's looking like we're going to get a new Superman and a new Batman, but it's not confirmed.
The problem with that all is it all. I looked at a bunch of articles, and they all seem to point back to a New York Post online article. And even that one, it always is like studio execs say, or it doesn't even say studio execs, it says like a source inside says. And there's just nothing that even comes close to tangible evidence. The rumor on the Cavill one is that he was supposed to have a cameo in Shazam, and due to scheduling conflicts with Mission Impossible Fallout, that broke down. And something about how that broke down, and I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't happy with how the whole mustache gate thing played out either. You know, or he's trying to get more money, I guess. But at any rate, it just the rumor being is that cameo broke down, and from there, just the relationship with him and WB or Warner Brothers, and probably just the fact that those movies haven't been very well acclaimed. So, like, all three movies that he's been a part of have not been super well regarded. Whether you like them or not, they're just not thought fondly of.
And he kind of was just thrown into the last movie. They waited to a point in the last movie.
Well, and it's not his fault that they've gone with a really bad tone for Superman. Just that all the DC stuff in general.
I think Superman tone is kind of hard to get. Because if you go just like he was in the comics, people say he's too cornball. Or he's too boring. Well, he's one-dimensional.
I think...
But if you go dark, everybody that likes the Big Blue Boy Scout... Goes, I don't want dark Superman.
I appreciate that we've gotten to a point where we try and tell deeper stories about our superheroes. But I think a little too much cachet has been placed on bummed out superheroes.
If I was Superman, I'd be happy all the time.
Like Thor has had a huge resurgence because they stopped. Like, Thor Ragnarok is amazing because Thor is kind of an unshakable optimist. He's just kind of a dude having a good time. I mean, there are moments of there are down moments, but Thor's the thing that makes him lovable is how he's kind of optimistic. He's kind of stoked all the time, and he's down to clown all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about it today is people get upset about people don't like Superman. He's too overpowered. He's boring. They haven't found a good way to make him engaging as someone who just wants to be good. And I think so. Why Man of Steel fails is it's not fun to see Superman hating being Superman. And I think the core of Superman is Superman doesn't hate being Superman. Superman hates that everyone can't be Superman.
Yeah.
Superman wants to fix everything. He wants everyone to get to. Like, the best Superman stories I've read is Superman is kind of not worried most of the time. He's not depressed. He's not worried. He just knows everything's going to be cool for the most part.
He's also, like, one thing about Spider-Man is like, this is so awesome, you know?
Yeah.
Like, these powers are so cool. And Superman's never like, this is so cool.
People don't like the quote, I hate the term Boy Scout about it. People don't like the Boy Scout that is...
Goody Two-Shoes.
They don't like the Goody Two-Shoes that is Superman. And they kind of... it bummed me out in Civil War where they kind of, Age of Ultron, where they sort of tried to paint Captain America that way a little bit. Because I've always had the issue where I think it's a trope, even when I was young, like, I felt bad for Cyclops, I felt bad for Superman. I hated that they were shitty to the character who had to be the dad. The guy who had to keep saying, no, Wolverine, you can't kill everyone. We don't have to kill everyone every time. I was like, ooh, screw that guy.
But I think you have to have that character. Because in real life, if you have a group of friends, somebody's going to be the one going, guys, we shouldn't do this. Yeah. And yeah, somebody's going to be the one probably, going, guys, we should definitely do this. We talked about this. The
fart can story. I was kind of that guy.
But that's reality.
So I know you have to have that guy. It's just that film and superhero stuff in general wants to act like that guy sucks. And that it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
It doesn't have to be that way. So, you know, and I think Christopher Reeve embodied that. Like people love Christopher Reeve Superman. And he was that goody two shoes, but he was just always in a pretty good mood.
Yeah.
And he was always pretty convinced that things were going to be okay.
More or less.
He was confident in himself. And I think that's a failure of Batfleck is Justice League Batman doesn't seem very confident.
He seems almost a lighter version of the Frank Miller where he's seen some stuff and he's been through some stuff.
Frank Miller,
and he wants to be done. But this is why I'm saying a lighter version.
Okay.
Like they hint that Robin has been murdered perhaps. Like he's been through that.
Yeah.
And he's just done with it. But at the same time, he feels the responsibility to save the planet.
So I guess the tonal thing I don't like about Batfleck, we were talking about earlier, if there's something that I think that if you're Batman / Bruce Wayne, a pretty essential component you have to portray in that role is unshakable confidence in himself. Like if for better or for worse, something that is key about Batman is he is convinced 100% all of the time that what he's doing is the right thing to do. And if someone doesn't agree with him, they are a dum-dum that I'm going to be kind of a jerk to.
So he's like everybody on Facebook.
Yeah. Hey,
I'm right, you're wrong, you're bad.
I'm fine with characterizing Batman as that. Batman is just Facebook.
Batman is a Facebook troll.
So.
With a lot of gadgets.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Such wonderful toys. Yeah.
So, I don't begrudge anyone who's feeling a little hinky about being in those, because I think they just still are having trouble finding a way. I mean, if it's to be believed, part of the articles that I read is a lot of people, there were a lot of quotes from insiders that execs are saying that they want to reset a few things, or that we admit that there were some things in building blocks of this universe that we didn't get right. And
well, like you said, Shazam looks a lot lighter, and Aquaman also looks like it's more Thor-y little bit. It's a little bit lighter. It should have some pretty cool visuals and some good fight scenes, and the fate of Atlantis is at stake, so there's going to be some drama too. But it also seems like it's going to be a little more fun. So maybe bringing in a couple new actors for those. Plus, they're going to do a Supergirl movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
Supergirl movie, nothing but bright-eyed optimism.
And that should be pretty cool. So why not bring in a new Superman? I mean, if they both come back, I'm fine with that too. But at this point, people being recast in movies, I'm way beyond being upset.
If it's not working out, like,
right.
That's one of those things they try and teach you. One of those things they try and teach you is about equity and failure of like a car that keeps breaking down. It's like, well, I've already thrown this much money into it. I can't get rid of it when I'm already this far in. It's just, I guess, that same thing of like, we're already this far into.
I was on a Indiana Jones panel a couple of years ago, and I was the only one on the entire panel that was pro recast Indy. Everybody else was like,
I would have backed you. No, on that, man.
If we get one more with Harrison Ford, that's fine. And then after that, no more. I was like, no, I like the character. I want more. We've already had other indies.
Yeah,
we had Little Kid Indy. We had River Phoenix Indy. We had Boondock Saints Indy. We've already had other indies. It's not the end of the world. We had Old Man Indy with an eye patch. You know, in the Young Indiana Jones series, there are scenes with an old man telling the stories.
I'd like to watch that. I haven't watched the
Young Indiana Jones. I want to say it's on Hulu or
yeah,
yeah. Some of them are good. Some of them
we've talked about it. That I Harrison Ford. He's great.
Right. But takes nothing away from the movies that he did to give somebody else a chance at the role.
We talked about that. I feel weird that the later eras you have to go on indie, it feels weird to me.
Indiana
Jones in the 60s feels off to me.
Well, it's beyond the 60s. The last movie was in the 60s.
No, I thought that was in the 50s. Was it in the 60s?
I think it was in the 60s.
Regardless, like...
I don't want to see Indiana 60s, Jones playing asteroids or Pac-Man.
Whether
okay?
it's late 60s or early to mid 70s, those both, like, I'd like it recast in kind of that, the original three movies, like, about up to the third movie, like, that era feels like a good wheelhouse to tell stories in.
This is totally tubular. I'm Indiana Jones. Yeah. I'm gleaming the cube.
Yeah, boy, if they get... All right, you know, I take it back. If they do an indie movie in the 80s where, you know, Harrison Ford's in his late 80s or...
I want to see Indiana Jones go see Star Wars. I'm going to go check out this new Star Wars movie.
Let's get a...
Han Solo is a handsome son of a gun.
Let's get a Conan skit going on that. Okay, I'll put up with that, but, you know, recast it, but... Again, the same thing with Justice League. Like, if they dunk it and just start over, they've been happy to do it with Spider-Man, and they finally hit with Tom Holland.
Right. The only thing that makes it tricky is the Spider-Man movies weren't involved with other characters that they're currently have movies coming out, like Aquaman.
Yeah.
And I think they're doing a Flash one as well. Ezra Miller, I thought he was really funny.
I think I read that that's supposed to be up for 2019.
Which is saying something, because I really like Grant Gustin in the CW Flash. And I was like, why don't they just put him in the movie?
So the issue
with... Ezra Miller did a good job.
The issue with Flash is much to go with the character. He's there for short bursts.
He's also super excited about his powers.
Yeah. But he's there to be a super quip machine.
Right.
And a whole movie of that.
I mean, there's going to be other characters in the movie, I'm sure. So,
I mean, you might say...
Maybe it'll be a team-up movie. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe it'll have Captain Boomerang.
Well, they already did that.
Bring him back.
Again, two very tonally different movies.
What if it's a Gorilla Grodd movie?
I'm up for that. I'll
you know, the Gorilla Grodd in the TV series is pretty amazing for TV.
I'll put up with anything. I will put up... I am all in for dumb premise.
Just think of Planet of the Apes reboot quality.
And that's why I was...
Gorilla Grodd.
I was always down to clown for Guardians of the Galaxy because that was always a goofball premise to begin with.
So right.
Give me that.
Well, hopefully it all gets worked out. So I'm sure we're going to get more movies eventually.
A few tangentials on that. Again, in the rumor mill. And I don't know if there is any fact to this. All the articles say, reportedly, Warner Brothers is considering Michael B. Jordan to take over as Superman. That sounds like something somebody made up and people wrote about it because, man, this is going to get eyeballs.
Right.
No one It'll actually get clicks. Said this, but this is something that, like, the math on this makes sense. The, you know, I don't like to use the word, the audacity of a choice like that is going to get eyeballs.
I would just say I wouldn't be 100% opposed to it, but if they did do it, I would want Superman rebooted alongside the Supergirl movie. Does that make sense?
I guess you're right in that would, if they continued with the timeline that the DC movies is on, going from Henry Cavill to Michael B. Jordan.
If it was a Superman from a different Earth,
you know,
where.
But even still, like, even if it's just a different looking, if just for the sake, I guess it says a lot of we could accept if it's Henry Cavill in one movie and Ben Affleck in the next one, and that's still continuity. We could accept that. I mean, they're still two completely different guys.
Yeah.
I know it's a different race, but still, who cares?
Well, the only reason that it's a problem is because it hasn't been done yet.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I mean, I want to see...
I'm not saying I wouldn't go see it or any... I'm not going... I'm just saying it would be weird at first, and then eventually my brain would get used to it, just like everything else in life.
I would love to see that decision because I bathe in that kind of manhood tears.
I don't want to see any more outrage. I'm just so tired of outrage. And there would be outrage.
Oh, there would be absolute outrage. But we've talked about people, even people who want to see a movie of Superman in it, still can't figure out what they want.
Right.
So casting someone like Michael B. Jordan and then writing a story that's going to be from that kind of guy's point of view, they could very easily stumble upon the antidote. They could stumble upon, oh, we made a bold decision, and because we made that bold decision, they had to write it away that hadn't been done quote unquote before. I mean, you can come at me with your, oh, we got steel or whatever garbage, or maybe there's a, you know, an out of canon story that they've told that's like that. But I mean, in this case, they're forced to write a way that they hadn't before. And maybe they stumble on magic in the way of no one believed in Heath Ledger's Joker until they saw Dark Knight and went, oh, he believed in it and he made this amazingly iconic thing.
I just have these weird, like, hypocritical feelings because when we talked about Idris Elba possibly taking over Bond, which did not happen, by the way, I was very much on board as start the movie, don't mention that it's a black actor playing James Bond, now just go. But with Superman, for some reason, I would want it to be like he had, like with the Superman where he got cancer. Like maybe his essence or his power was transferred over to a worthy vessel and now this guy's Superman. I would want some sort of explanation. And it doesn't make sense if I was fine with it with Idris Elba being Bond. And I think that's just because Bond is somebody new all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not a big deal to reboot a new actor in there.
I think if you want to make Idris Elba Bond, and you maybe even want to try to incorporate what being that character but also black would be in works, but you wouldn't have to retell his origin to get there.
Right.
I think you're right. Maybe
I think where this is an existing universe that they've tried to build, unless you want to reboot it all.
Well, because I'm on your side.
It's even weirder.
I think I'm on your side of, they've been telling Superman as a story so far in a very specific way.
Right.
And I think that Michael B. Jordan taking over, or, you know, any person of color taking over that role, if you're going to tell the interesting story, which is going to be what would a person of color go through being Superman from the ground up, yeah, you do have to start over and start building that character. It's not a matter of it's too jarring to go from one to the other. It's a matter of the only way that becomes interesting is to tell it from that perspective, and to start telling it from that perspective, you have to start over.
And in the DC universe, you could do that in another movie.
Yeah, sure.
You could make it from Earth 3 or whatever.
Sure.
Like in that version, this guy that wasn't Kal-El came from their Krypton and came to Earth, and now he's, and tell his story like you just said, from the ground up.
I don't think you have to retell it as another thing. Just, it's the same story, but this is the character. It happens to be a person of color, and growing up being Superman would be a vastly different experience, even though you're Superman.
And I think, honestly, after seeing what happened with Black Panther and the way that people just went crazy for Black Panther, it would actually be a disservice to young African American kids to just plug him in.
Yeah.
Compared to telling the story as an origin story and see that, oh, this Superman started out just like me. This is how he lived. He lived in an urban area, perhaps, instead of Smallville.
Was it Kansas?
Yeah. And his dad died and he had to go through this.
Boy.
And I mean, it would tell a story that would really resonate with people.
I don't think that they're going to do that much work.
But if you just plugged Michael B. Jordan in, that would be a shame.
I think it lays to lose all of that for something really interesting. I just don't think they're willing to do that much work.
I don't either. No.
I mean, even for Black Panther, there's a lot of work that, you know, there's a lot of work they didn't do of. You guys are so proud of heritage and so proud of race. Where were you during the LA riots? Where have you been during all these, you know, where were you during the civil rights movement, things like that? And you got to tell.
Michael B. Jordan, coincidentally enough, actually kind of brings that up in the movie. He's like, where were you? We've been struggling all this time. Where were you?
But he, he's just mostly referencing South Central LA. But if you talk about historically, like T'Challa's dad and, you know, generations back, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's a big question to raise of where were you for all these pivotal moments where your people needed you? But at the same time, like, you have to write a whole separate movie to figure all that out.
I mean, it's pretty easy to say it was tradition. I mean, why do we not
the guy who should be raising these questions.
Well, why do we do the things we do in our society? A lot of it is because of tradition.
Because we're assholes.
No, it's not even necessarily that. Most people are good, but you've got these traditions or way things are supposed to be in your mind.
I think most people are good to a point of convenience. Or to a point of traditional convenience. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, I don't know. That's getting deep into stuff.
That's getting pretty deep.
Fun to talk about. But yeah, Michael B. Jordan. On one end, I love. As long as it's not hurting anyone, I love to see, you know, stupid man children break down over something they think that they're losing but aren't. But also, I think a really interesting thing could be hatched out of that.
It could be, but here's the thing. If everybody has a problem with the way that they are writing existing characters, the way that we have known them for 100 years or 70 years anyway, how are they going to be able to pull off an African-American Superman out of the blue?
Look at what Black Panther, look at what
okay, but
Black Panther being.
Black Panther had way different writers and a way different studio. Do you see what I'm saying? Hey. Like if everybody says DC is so terrible at writing the movie and
this is their opportunity to not be terrible.
It is an opportunity, yes, but I don't see them writing their... No, they've painted themselves into a corner if they do that. I'm with
you. I don't see them doing it, but it would be... It's an opportunity to do something pretty cool.
But it's also just a rumor.
Yeah, it's just a rumor.
I mean, it really could just be Henry Cavill trying to get more money.
Speaking of Cavill, the other side of that is he did sign on to play Geralt of Rivia, the titular character in the Netflix Witcher series.
Witcher?
Witcher is a really cool game series, of which I've played a bunch of the third one. It is the most game.
The most game?
The Witcher 3 in particular.
Does it take a lot of buttons?
No, it's just there is just lots of it. I have probably, I think I've probably put 80 or 90 hours into The Witcher 3.
Dang.
And am still a long way away from finishing just the base game. There are two expansions to it. I think it's called, the one's called Hearts of Stone, the other one's called Blood and Wine, which I am to understand are like separate games unto themselves. Is it kind of like
how Pokemon does different, like Pokemon Black and White or Pokemon?
No, it's just continuations of the story. Okay. No, it's just like they're just continuations of the story, but they're huge.
But it's going to be a Netflix series?
It's going to be a Netflix series. Geralt of Rivia is a Witcher. What a Witcher is, if I remember correctly, in this universe, they are people who at a young age are taken and mutated, and through magic and alchemy and things like that, they fight monsters as a job. And it's very much like a job. Like, part of the game is going into towns. There's a work board. Hey, there's a...
I have a question for you.
Oh, please.
What is the time frame that this is going to take place?
It's like a Game of Thrones-y fantastic.
Okay, so it's old. It's old school. Yeah. Okay.
So they come to town. There's a job board.
So Netflix is trying to have their Game of Thrones.
If that's what they want, this is a pretty good property to pick.
Oh.
It's a strong character. Part of it comes from you get to make moral choices in it. So it would be interesting to see what way they take it, considering you can do different things in the game. You can have completely different stories in the game based on some choices you make. But the kind of cool aspect, like I said, is they're jobbers. They go town to town. They negotiate with people like, hey, there's a chimera really messing us up. Man, got to pay me. Well, we're poor. Like, you got to pay me. It doesn't necessarily mean that you don't. It doesn't necessarily mean that you bleed them dry, but it's considered a mark in the game of like you have to take payment for what you do. You can't just do charitable things. You have to take payment for
right.
it. And the character 12 is
chickens.
Whereas I don't think it always works out that way. The character, part of going through the mutation makes them devoid of emotion and things like that. I don't think that's true. I think Geralt has emotions and things like that.
It would be hard to have a series where your lead was devoid of emotion.
Yeah. he's a very dry
Although character. Some people say that's the problem with Superman, so.
He's a very cool character. I think Cable's a pretty good, decent choice for it. I'm excited to see it.
I think he's a good actor, so.
I'm excited to see tons of stuff coming out of Netflix anymore. I am not excited to see a ton of stuff coming out of Netflix. I'm excited to see a ton of stuff coming out of Netflix. One of those I can talk to you about. I just saw a trailer for, what was the name of it? Was the Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Buster Scruggs.
This is a Western from the Coen brothers.
Is it a modern day Western or like?
No, old timey Western. Which is funny because. Clint Eastwood,
John Wayne.
That's funny because the advertisement for it said from the directors of No Country for Old Men and True Grit. Which I know they directed the remake of True Grit. It was just funny to see their name, of all the things they've done, their name attached to True Grit.
Well, I actually haven't seen that version of True Grit.
I like both. I really like both versions.
I do like the original, the John Wayne one, yeah. But I haven't seen the new one.
Do watch it. I really like both of them.
I just never got around to it.
But it seems like it's almost like a old westy kind of Pulp Fiction-y thing where you've got four stories that are supposed to kind of converge.
Do they have anything to do with the Fargo TV series?
I think that
did they direct Fargo?
Yeah,
the Coen Brothers. Okay, that's what I thought, but I didn't know if they had anything to do with the series.
That's getting into territory. Now, have you watched the Fargo series?
No,
way good.
I don't
way
have cable, good. So
all three seasons. Even though the third one's a little hink, but all three seasons are really good.
Cool.
Watch it if you can.
So this is a Western, huh?
So it's a Western, four stories. One with James Franco, one with Liam Neeson.
This is on Netflix too?
It's going to be in November.
Wow.
No, it's a movie that's, like I said, it's kind of like a Pulp Fiction-y movie where you have four stories going on kind of on the same day.
So it's a movie, it's not...
Yeah, it's a movie.
Okay. I thought you were saying this was a Netflix series too.
No, it's Neeson? It's a movie that's going to be on Netflix.
James Franco?
Wow. James Franco. Okay. What's that guy's name?
So it's not going to theaters.
The advertisement said November 16th on Netflix and in select theaters, so you can catch it out there. Tim Blake Nelson,
Do that, right? They screen it so that they can be nominated for Oscars. Because if it's not screened in theaters, you can't get nominated for Oscars.
If you've got the Coen brothers, if you've got James Franco,
set of skills.
If you've got, Liam Neeson. Tim Blake Nelson, you know who that is?
He was
in another Coen brothers movie.
But he was also, he was in Oh Brother, Art Thou. He was also in The Hulk.
Yes. Yes, he was.
He was going to be the leader, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Because the stuff dripped into his brain.
He got the brain growth.
In. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's the titular.
He's also in Holes. Remember the Disney? Go dig those holes. You never saw Holes?
I saw Holes.
With Shia LaBeouf?
That's
Sigourney Weaver?
I didn't see a lot of the stuff that was made for my age when I was that age.
Oh, it was. We were adults when this came out.
Then I just didn't see it because I didn't want to.
I don't think you probably didn't have a kid that would watch it at that point.
No, doubtful. But
not a bad movie though.
He's the titular Buster Scruggs, which seems to be like a John Wayne movie cowboy in this movie. Not even a John Wayne, like even more cornier, like a cornball white outfit eternally.
So he's going to be like Marty McFly in Back to the Future 3.
Kind of like that.
But a little bit out of place.
So it's got that like more realistic-y, western-y tone to it. And then you've got this guy going around.
He's the poser.
He looks like a poser.
He's probably from back east somewhere. He's a city boy.
From what I saw in the trailer, it seems like that's supposed to be everyone thinks like, oh, this guy's a poser, but then he's going to be like an amazing gunfighter anyway. Or like, So I think it looks, I'm really excited for it. I think it looks really good.
Sounds fun.
Got a lot of the alums from like Steven Root's going to be in it. Basically everybody who's always in Coen Brother movies is going to be in it.
Sweet.
So I'm super stoked about it.
I wanted to talk a second about what I did last week before I went to FanX Wednesday night. I opened for Dolph Ziggler.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
Two nights before that, by the way, he became one half of the Raw Tag Team Champions.
Oh, so he's
He's currently a champion.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, tag team champion.
I don't pay enough attention. I had assumed that he was not wrestling anymore, and that's how he...
No, he's still wrestling.
Because, like, there are a few other wrestlers, like Colt Cabana does that, and I don't think he's with any particular outfit
anymore. No, he kind of does independent stuff, and his is more comedy matches. It's not serious stuff. It's goofball stuff. But, yeah, Dolph Ziggler still wrestles at a high level, so...
Well, I'll be doggone.
And he's a bad guy right now. He's a heel. Ooh. So yeah,
was he a heel at Wise Guys?
No, not really. I mean, a little bit. He kind of like bagged on the guys that he's currently feuding with. So he was
kayfabing it.
With a wink and a nod. You know what I mean?
Okay, so he. Okay, sure, great. I'm just trying to understand. So.
Yeah,
fun times, good times, nice guy.
He was definitely winking while he was kayfabing, but there was a little bit of that. But that's what the crowd wanted to see, honestly.
Sure.
So he did a great job. Sarah Tiana was with him. She's one of my favorite comedians. So it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Nice to you, or were they just not there to see you at all? So
who?
The crowd.
Oh, the crowd was fine with me. Yeah, I made a Roman Reigns joke. They love that. So
I guess that's good. Did that go into the selection of you getting to do that? Was it like, yeah, I can kind of make these jokes and play to the crowd?
I mean, I specifically asked for this show. I don't specifically ask for shows a lot, but I did ask to be on the Dolph Ziggler show just because I knew I'd be good with that crowd. And also, anytime I can work with Sarah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
She's one of my favorites, so... And he was great. He was a good dude. He was a really good dude. So I was glad I got to do it. It was a lot of fun.
If you came and watched that much.
Yeah. I mean, we spent like 3-4 hours together. So
stories. Did you try and fight him?
No. He did watch. He watched the video of my fight.
Did he ask about me?
Yeah, he did. He's like, how's Jake doing? I was like, he's doing good. He says hi. And he's like, tell him I appreciate him.
I really miss the Zig.
The Zig and the Zag.
Yeah.
No, he's a good dude. We went out, had dinner afterward.
Where did you eat? Where does a Dolph Ziggler go to eat?
There's actually an Iggy's right next to the Jordan Landing Wise Guys. So we went to Iggy's.
You really did that?
Yeah.
Did you run a goof on it? Like, did you tell him like, Zig, I want to take you to the Ig? Or
no, I didn't even think about that. Honestly, he's just like, I need something to eat. I'm starving, and I was gonna take him to In-N-Out, but he's like, trust me, I already hit the In-N-Out. I had to. Had the triple double or whatever. Yeah. He had the one with the three patties. So he's already had that.
I mean, he's on the program, so he's in good shape. But
he's in amazing shape.
No real dietary concerns. He just went out and eat what he wanted.
I mean, he tries to stick with proteins and vegetables and stuff like that. He doesn't eat a lot of bread. Like
no fries.
He didn't have any of those Iggy. He did have some fries. He did have some, but he didn't have Ziggy. The rolls. Iggy's has these really good rolls. And he didn't have any of the rolls, which made it more awkward because I felt obligated to eat them because there's starving children in China.
Yeah.
That's always in the back of my mind.
Telling yourself that.
Yeah. I can't just let food get wasted.
You're never going to be Mac from It's Always Sunny.
It was funny. The waitress is like, she looks at him and she's like, you look familiar, but I can't put my finger on it. And I mean, I don't know if he wanted to be recognized or not, but he just kind of playfully said, do you read romance novels? Have you ever seen the covers? And she laughed, and that was as far as it went.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I was trying to think of something like, I guess Fabio does, he's like a...
He honestly should be like doing movies or something. I know there's WWE Studios. He must have been in some here or there, but he's got a personality. He's got the look.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's not like starring in them, so...
Got that song stuck in my head now.
I mean, obviously he wants to be entertaining.
Yeah.
He does stand up as much as he possibly can because he wrestles five to six days a week.
Did you talk to him much about stand up? Like,
yeah.
Got a passion for it?
Yeah, he's definitely got a passion for it. Yeah, he's not doing it just as a paycheck or anything like that.
Yeah, it's just his jam then. Like, doesn't want to be in movies, just wants to.
Right.
Likes doing stand up.
He really wants to be good at it. So
that's cool.
It's just one of those things where stand up you have to do all the time. Like as much as you can. And he has to work out like 5 hours a day. I don't know what he works out, but he's in great shape. So I assume it's 5 hours a day. And he's always traveling and he's always, wrestling and doing all that. So time is not, like spare time is not super convenient for him.
I would imagine so.
But I mean, watch for him. He's going to do some stuff. He's not going to wrestle forever. But you can be an action star clear into your 60s and 70s.
I was going to say, no one
that's
can.
That's been proven. But,
Ric Flair is still out there. Ric Ooh. Flair is still a threat.
He's not wrestling anymore.
But he, like, he's 10. Well, I guess I don't know. Has he, when's the last time he, I mean, he's not doing matches, certainly, but is he still, like, a part of the show?
I mean, his daughter wrestles, so he's there every once in a while if the storyline requires it. But he shows up, like, he was at WrestleMania and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he's out and about, and he's doing good after his coma. Crazy.
He's a hard-living man.
Woo!
Indeed.
It's not fair to Flair. Royal Rumble 92. That's my favorite. It's not fair to Flair. But that was a lot of fun, and that led into FanX. So I had a pretty amazing week last week, to be honest with you.
Oh, congratulations.
Not much to complain about. I did watch just a couple movies real quick. I finally got to see Fallen Kingdom. I hadn't seen it. I needed to watch it before my panel. Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
Gee, I wonder how lines between us are going to come down on that one.
I liked it. I mean, there was a little bit, it was kind of like a Downton Abbey Jurassic World a little bit, because it takes place in that big fancy house. But for the most part, I really liked it. I mean, it wasn't the greatest Jurassic Park movie by far, but I enjoyed it. It was funny because I didn't have anything to do. It was a Saturday night or whatever, and I was like, I gotta go see that. I've gotta go see it. Maybe it's playing somewhere. And it was playing 15 miles from my house. So I was like, great, I'll go check it out. I went by myself. Nobody wanted to go with me. Bought a bucket of popcorn. It was my cheat day. Got some soda, mowed through an entire bucket of popcorn, enjoyed the movie, went home. 2 days later, my wife goes, hey, why don't we watch Fallen Kingdom? I was like, it's not out on Blu-ray yet. And she's like, yeah, but I bought it ahead of time so we get the digital copy early so we can watch it right now. And I was like, oh, why?
See, that tells you all you need to know about it, is that you weren't up for watching it that second time.
No, I did watch it.
But you weren't up for it.
No, I was just regretting that I ate all that popcorn.
It was the popcorn.
More or less, yeah. I mean, I love popcorn, but it's not good for you.
I didn't care for Fallen Kingdom that much.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't. I thought it was good.
I just don't.
The island blown up was cool. A lot of dinosaurs died in that movie.
Hey, you know what? You know what we learned in Thor Ragnarok? A lesson that Fallen Kingdom didn't seem
to. What's that?
Jeff Goldblum's way better when he's having a good time, not just kind of pensive.
Yeah, I don't know what those. I guess maybe he told him, I've got 15 minutes. I can give you 15 minutes.
15 minutes and I have to go to the bathroom really bad, so. No, everyone was pretty stoked that Ian Malcolm was back, and he just was kind of he was really nervous about dinosaurs the whole time.
There are kind of rumors about like a Jurassic reunion of Sam Neill, Jeff Goldblum, and Laura Dern maybe being in the third movie. Hmm. Bring it all together, wrap it up. Because they're going to need, if you think about it, they're going to need dinosaur experts. There's dinosaurs running around America now.
So here, a problem with both Fallen Kingdom and the first Jurassic World is the people in them are making demonstrably bad decisions, and we're supposed to treat them like heroes.
Right.
Bryce Dallas Howard's character in Jurassic World was the cause of most of the problems in that movie.
Yeah, she was very naive.
And in the end, she's supposed to be it. She wasn't naive. She was the businesswoman.
Yeah, but she also thought that she could control it.
There was a moment.
That was naive.
There was a moment where she could have evacuated the island. Lots of people died because she didn't do the right thing first off.
She also didn't evacuate the dinosaurs.
In
Fallen Kingdom.
And then in Fallen Kingdom, at the end, we're like,
oh. The surprise character did.
Fallen Kingdom's been out long enough.
Can I tell you how dumb I felt watching Fallen Kingdom? When they show the picture of the little girl with the nanny, I was like, oh, I guess that's her grandma. She just doesn't know that it's her grandma because she was like her mom was a love child or something like that.
Can I tell you?
That's what I thought.
I went to Fallen Kingdom with the family.
I didn't see what happened.
The first time we saw that girl, I leaned over to Gabe and said, if that girl is part dinosaur, this is the worst movie ever. And it was close.
It was close.
It was close.
It was pretty close.
But then at the end of the movie, spoilers for Fallen Kingdom. go ahead and forward a bit if you don't want to hear about the end of Fallen Kingdom. They let all the dinosaurs out into the suburbs at the end, and you're supposed to be like, oh, they let the dinosaurs live. They're going to kill.
Right.
They're going to kill suburbanite families.
Blue is running around what looks like St. George.
The T-Rex is just out hanging about. In the worst case scenario, it eats a bunch of civilians and they kill it. In the best case scenario, they still kill it. They did a bad thing at the end of that movie.
Maybe it'll pick up right where that movie leaves off.
Like, I know it sucks that they were going to gas all the dinosaurs. That was a hard choice they were supposed to make. You're supposed to go to the go out of that and go like, man, that really sucked. They had to let them die, but there was nothing else they could do.
Well, there's also dinosaurs that went out to private buyers. Yeah. They're going to try and clone them. I think cloning dinosaurs is going to be all the rage in the next movie.
That's fine. It's similar in that Justice League, or even I saw Deadpool 2, and we can talk some about that. Of the writers made a bad decision that it wasn't a good, like, they were writing toward a bad decision. The end of Fallen Kingdom was a bad solution for that. If they had just had all of the, like, they tried their best, and at the end of it, all of the dinosaurs went to private people, and the next movie is about them, like, taking the list that they got at the end of it and, like, mercenary going after all the dinosaurs to save them and take them to an island. That would have been a better movie, but some of them going away to private ones and then them releasing dinosaurs into the suburbs wasn't a good ending.
I think when the next movie starts, you're going to find out that they quickly moved in, tranked them all, and they have them somewhere. I don't think the movie's going to be dinosaurs just running all over the place. It's a hunch I've got that it's going to be wrapped up really quickly at the beginning, and then it's going to go from there.
And I still don't think that makes it a good end, but
I don't either. But
and then we can talk about
it is what it is.
Fallen Kingdom has the highest peak of human stupidity in I'm gonna get that tooth.
Oh yeah, you know that was Buffalo Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. You ain't got to tell me
that. Help me move a couch.
But that
sounded part, a little bit like Carl from Sling Blade.
I think that it's degrees. But that
rubs part, the lotion on its skin, or else it gets the hose again.
That part, that sequence is the dumbest person of him. He knows, that character knows at that point, that dinosaurs are loose in the like dangerous dinosaurs are loose in the building.
Right.
And he is in there going, where's my money? I want my paycheck. Like, dude, the guy's not going to be able to write you a check at that point.
Also, I was like, why Chris Pratt, Owen, whatever your name is in the movie, why did you stop? Why did you stop the raptor from going back? Because they were sending it back. He stopped it and left it in the middle of the room there. Why not send it to the back to its cage?
I don't. But then on top of that, he sees what is obviously a sentient meat grinder asleep.
Right.
And he goes, oh, I'm gonna get that tooth. He is in a building that is in a panic because dangerous dinosaurs are around. He sees a sleeping, like, ninja weapon dinosaur, and he goes, oh, I'm gonna get me that. Which is, again, a dumb thing about that character, that his defining characteristic is, I'm going to get them teeth.
It would have been funny if he, like, tucked the gun between his legs while he did it.
Yeah. And then that leads to the best, dumbest thing in the movie, which is dinosaur smirk.
Yeah, it did look a little playful, considering the rest of the movie. There was a little kid in the theater when I saw it, and when the dinosaur is reaching over the little girl's bed and she's hiding under the covers and it looks like a witch's hand.
Yeah.
That kid freaked out. I was like, I'm glad that's not my kid, because they are not going to sleep tonight.
There's a lot of... It's so hard when the base of that series is such a well-executed movie to see, like, just every movie. It's similar in the Alien franchise of past Aliens. Just poorly executed ideas.
Well, it's kind of like somebody said on the panel, when you hit a home run on the first one, obviously people want to see more, but it really is hard to like, that's what makes Mission Impossible Fallout so amazing, that's the sixth movie and that's my new favorite.
Yeah.
So they obviously, Maybe the sixth Jurassic Park.
The Mission Impossible movies, like not to take away from them being fun stories, but they don't have to rely a lot. Like those movies are set up on set pieces mostly of, like you don't remember moments a lot in Mission Impossible of like, oh, it was really cool. This dialogue was really cool, or this scene was where they explored the character of Ethan Hunt was really cool. You remember, man, the helicopter part was way cool. And holy crap, I can't believe Tom Cruise is still getting strapped to things while they're going flying.
There are parts like in Rogue Nation when they go to the opera house. When I think of Rogue Nation, I think of the scene in the opera house personally. And there was a lot of stunts in that one too. But definitely, like even the first Mission Impossible, I think of the cobblestone streets and the bridge where John Voight pretends to get shot.
Yeah.
I think about that kind of stuff, actually.
At this point, when you watch, because I feel like the movies started having a different tone. It's similar in the way of like the Fast and Furious franchise became something different after 5. Does it feel like after, is Ghost Protocol the first one that wasn't a numbered one? Like they become kind of a different franchise.
I think it switched actually with Mission Impossible 3.
Is it 3?
That's where they introduce Simon Pegg, and he's only in it for a couple minutes, but you can see the blossoming of the Benji character.
Yeah.
And it becomes more of a team movie. Because in 2, it was basically Tom Cruise and Ving Rhames as the guy in the van. Yeah. You know what I mean? So 3 is where they really started to branch out. Maggie Q was in it. There was a little bit more of a team going on. And then definitely with Ghost Protocol, it branched out even a little bit more. You had Paula Patton in it, and you introduced Jeremy Renner.
Just feels like they hit upon this is the right tone. Like I certainly don't dislike the first movie. It just feels tonally very different from where it gets later in the series, in my mind.
Well, the original series, the TV series, was a team. Series. I know, but the original series was a team. So they kind of got back to away from just Ethan Hunt. He's still the focal point for sure. I mean, it's Tom Cruise. He's the biggest, arguably the biggest movie star in the world.
That point can be made. Yeah.
So, certainly. I mean, you got to have him be the focal point. But it is more of a team thing. And that's where you're able to find humor. And I think, I even said this on the panel, I think when he did Night and Day with Cameron Diaz. I liked that movie because he's a super spy and Cameron Diaz is just kind of a regular person along for the ride. And there was a lot of humor in that. And I think they were able to tap into that with Benji being out in the field with him. And so Simon Pegg is kind of the goofball character just going, what is happening? While Tom Cruise is doing this insane stuff and just looking cool as a cucumber.
Rob Schneider of the movie.
No, he's not the Rob Schneider of the movie. But he was not in a spaghetti. Like
he's not.
Robot.
He's not Rob Schneider. I'm just saying that's a bit of a trope that those movies they need. It's the kind of audience surrogate. Travis, my goal in life is to find a movie that you hate that I like.
That I hate?
I mean, we're not gonna reach that tonight. But
I would have to actually go home and make a physical list of movies that I hate. I walked out of Waterworld and never finished it.
Yeah.
At the theaters. Just because I thought it was so stupid.
I don't.
But I don't know if I hate it.
I don't care for Waterworld.
I'll have to think about it. I'll make a list.
Our ongoing series, can Travis find something that he hates that Jake loves?
Well, we're about at an hour here, so we're going to be wrapping it up.
Alrighty, Rooney.
You want to save Mr. Bungle? And get more in depth. I finally listened to my challenge watch.
I will tell you honestly, I wanna dive deep on every track with you.
Okay, and I will listen to it. I will re-listen to it so it's even more fresh in my head because it's been a week since I heard it.
It's been 1 week.
Yeah. Let's close out with talking about Ready Player One.
Yeah, that's a quick one. I watched Ready Player One. You watch it.
I watched it probably a month and a half ago, something like that.
You liked it, I imagine?
I did actually. I liked it.
I didn't dislike Ready Player One.
There was a lot of stuff that happens in other movies, but overall, I had fun watching it.
I am surprised I'm into a lot of pop culture and nerd stuff. Watching Ready Player One and going like, this is just too much. The
Iron Giant was pretty cool.
Iron Giant was cool, sure.
The DeLorean.
The Iron Giant in that movie is kind of a breaking thing because that movie that movie sets up 80s pop culture is what everybody's into. But then it's just every once in a while something from the 90s or like a lot of Blizzard game stuff, like a lot of Overwatch characters. Mm-hmm. And I think Jim Raynor, the character from StarCraft, who's in their new game Heroes of the Storm. And I think I think Blizzard, this isn't going to make sense yet. I think Blizzard had a lot of fingers in that. So you get characters that aren't necessarily the most popular, but Blizzard let them do Overwatch, which was really popular at the time. There's just so much. They spend so much time talking about like how much everybody loves all the 80s stuff. So it was kind of weird to sometimes like something like the Iron Giant made it through.
Just how many years in the future was it? I can't remember now. It was.
I think it was. I want to say it was 2048. I could be wrong though.
So it was quite a ways away.
A ways away that much 80s nostalgia. Well, I mean, it's supposed to be tied to the Steve Jobs weirdo.
Right.
Everybody's just into what he was into.
He's the guy in Dunkirk that takes the boat. He's one. He's like the main guy that goes to help pick up soldiers.
Was he in? He's
been in quite a few Blackadder
series.
Perhaps. I haven't seen every episode of Blackadder.
Hey, real quick, wanted to just use, Ready Player One is a pastiche of I'm a Brit doing an American accent.
Yeah, like the guy from Rogue One. He could have had any accent.
Simon Pegg in that movie is so nuts because he's secretly a British character. I'm sorry, I'm falling all over myself. He plays an American.
Right.
But secretly is a British character in the internet in that movie. And at the end, when he reveals himself, it's like, oh, you were that character all along. He does the accent and it's like, that's just your voice, Simon. So that was crazy. And then I'm pretty sure that, yeah, I know that guy is British. It's just, you know. But again, to get back to that, it's so slavish. And the book was like this too. It's so slavish to nerd culture in general that nobody seems to actually have taste. They just love everything from that. They love everything from that era. And the story's kind of fun and it's, you know, it's a fun movie to watch, but sometimes they get really deep on, you know, nerd culture-y things that it's like.
So you read the book?
I listened to it.
Oh, okay. Is it more broad as far as, or can they even use main?
You're talking about era-wise?
Is there Star Trek in the book? Is there Star Wars in the book?
Yeah, the book has just kind of.
The movie was kind of
even
somewhat
more hardcore.
Handcuffed on what they could.
Yeah,
license. Sure. So,
but it's just I guess it's again that 80s era. It just seems like anything in the 80s that was pop culture, they love it. Like the main character goes through all kinds of things. Like when he's picking what outfit to go on his date, he's going through the Buckaroo Banzai outfit, Prince,
right?
A bunch of, and it's just like,
when was the book written?
Oh, it's within the last 5 to 7 years, I think, maybe. I'm not sure. All right.
Probably by somebody our age.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It is. It very much is. The other, this is something, and this bugs me because these stories won't actually go somewhere with it, is they want to make a point of the Artemis character. When she's revealed, you're supposed to go, oh, she's got a flaw.
Yeah. I was going to bring that up. I didn't really even notice it.
That's the thing about it, is in the book it's played up heavily of, oh, she's got this birthmark, and it's,
I thought she was going to look like the little short lady from the Dark Crystal, the one that like pulls her eyes out and holds it up in the air. I thought she was going to be like a troll or something. It's like, yeah, there's,
that's the, and that's a very nerdy guy, like I'm the knight in shining armor of, oh, she's got a birthmark and I love her anyway. Like, yeah, the birthmark is light placed artistically, and she's a really attractive,
right,
nerdy woman to begin with. So you ain't that special. You still hit a home run getting to know this woman.
And she kind of looked like something from like Ferngully or something inside the game. So that's what he fell in love with. So obviously, looks that we have nowadays in that universe, it was more open. It was more Doctor Whoey.
If you're gonna,
Captain Jack Harkness.
If you're gonna do that in a story, go all the way and make her, make that character something more realistic as a person.
Like a fish hook in her cheek.
Yeah, fish hook.
You know, fishing accident when she was a kid.
Accidents.
Yeah.
So
who doesn't?
I had a good time. I had a good time watching Ready Player One, but there were moments where, as someone who is nerdy and maybe looks at my own past and thinks like, well, you know, maybe you should have toned yourself down. I just look at Ready Player One and I think I would like to see more restraint, but I think the whole point of that movie was there was no restraint.
Yeah, it was just let's go for the grand slam.
Sometimes a lot of fun. Sometimes like this is a bit much, and then also like I said, most of the characters in a way that they're trying to set up what the culture is there that doesn't, you don't really get a clear idea of it. It's just like everything from that era, no matter what it is just like given. Everybody loves all that stuff. No one at any point looks at one of those things that's supposed to be cool. Like no one, when they're talking about how great all the John Hughes movies is, no one goes like, but I didn't really like Pretty in Pink. It's just like, you're all in.
I mean, I kind of felt watching it like, and I kind of see why they didn't, because a lot of these characters are showing up in the Wreck-It Ralph movies. But I kind of felt like there's no Nintendo characters in here.
And that's all licensing. That stuff, right. It played up in the books.
Oh, so they're all in the books?
Yeah.
So the books, just anything?
Yeah. That's. I mean,
how do you get away with that?
It's just writing about it.
How do you not have to pay Lucasfilms or Disney or whatever?
I want to believe in a book you could write about, like, I've got a Han Solo poster on my wall and not have to pay Disney. And that's roughly
as long as you're not writing a Han Solo story.
Yeah, they're not writing stories. They're not writing those character stories. They're just referencing them constantly.
Yeah.
So Ready Player One. Yeah, it was okay.
I liked it.
Sure.
I'd watch it again. Tomorrow.
It was overlooked. If I watched it again, it would be to try to catch all the references Easter eggs that I missed. Because again, like I said, there were scenes where there's battles and stuff like that, and I'm like, I'm trying to pick stuff out and trying to recognize stuff as it goes, and I was like, I cannot look at all this stuff at once.
But yeah, overall, I enjoyed it. Is it going to win an Oscar? Probably not. But it was fun. It was fun to see the DeLorean in action. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's something that I feel is still going to get rebooted. I will admit,
like that race at the start, I got caught up. There were a lot of, there were moments like that I got caught up in just how fun and frenetic it was. Again, like the reference stuff, like when she pulls up to, Artemis pulls up next to him and he goes, dude, check it out. Did you see that? And then his other friend goes, yeah, that's Kaneda's bike from Akira here and stuff. I'm like, that is so tacked on.
King Kong was just like a generic King Kong, wasn't it? It's not like it was Peter Jackson's King Kong. It definitely wasn't.
I don't think it was the Peter Jackson one. It seemed like in my mind it was sort of a digitized classic version, like kind of a realistic version that was kind of trying to look like the classic one physically a little bit.
I always love that the Bumble from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer kind of reminds me of King Kong. Like the way its mouth moves.
Makes sense. You know the thing about Bumbles, right?
Bumbles bounce.
All right. There you go.
Gold.
Let's not try and top ourselves on that one. I'm going to say for late to the party with Travis Tate, I'm Jake.
And I am Travis Tate. And better Tate than never.